Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, December 18th, the year of our Lord, 2022. And this is the fourth Sunday in the season of Advent. I pray that this has been a season of reflection for you, of renewal. I pray that no matter what life is thrown at you right now, that you're finding strength in the truth that our God is with us, that our God is ahead of us, encouraging us, calling us to Himself. And in this spirit, we worship together. And here at the podcast, before we formally begin in worship, we begin by celebrating life itself, the breath of life. So I encourage you to draw in a deep breath. You hold it for a second or two or three or four or five and let it go. And turn your face toward the sky. And as you do that, call to mind the best of life. Your favorite people, your favorite songs, your favorite food. Whatever it is that you're most thankful for, the things that light you up inside. Imagine yourself in your favorite chair, in your favorite place in the whole wide world. Give thanks to God for all of it. And in this posture, in this mindset, let's begin together in worship. We continue this week with the tradition of lighting candles during the Sundays in the season of Advent. This, the fourth Sunday, we light our fourth candle, which represents the love of God. If you want to follow along, there is a small liturgy that goes with this candle lighting. You can find that in the bulletin. Just go over to the right, tap on that notes tab, click on it, however you're listening, and the bulletin will come up and you can follow along. Let's begin. Isaiah said that the Lord spoke to the king and said, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But when the king refused, God would not be stopped. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." God wants us to know, even when we aren't sure ourselves. God wants us to experience God's presence even when we think we can handle life on our own. God sends us signs of God's presence with us. All we need to do is keep our eyes open and look. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son and named him Jesus. We light these candles, the candle of joyous hope, of proclaimed peace, of deep, everlasting joy. And today, of the presence that speaks of love as a sign that no matter our circumstances, we know we are not alone. And so we light all four candles of the season. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from Matthew's gospel in the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word alive among us. And we pray that you would join us in this moment, that you would help us to hear what you need us to hear, that you would help us to focus on the things that we need to see. We pray that you'd save us from distraction and misinterpretation and be revealed to us in this time of reflection. We pray all of this in your holy name and say, Amen. Do you know how babies are made? That might make you chuckle. Smile a little bit. Well, of course, I know where babies come from. But do you? Well, yes, you may say. I paid attention in biology class. I watched the film strips in health class when I was in middle school. I know where babies come from. I know where babies come from. My wife and I have six children. And I know with some level of certainty that conception has something to do with red wine. Joseph, whom we read about today in Matthew's gospel, Joseph knows where babies come from. Joseph knows how babies are made. Or so he thinks. Or so we think. And of all the different reactions and responses I've had to reading this particular passage of Scripture this week, it's caused me to think about how babies are made. about the Holy Spirit, about what it means to be visited by angels, about what it means for Messiah to come, about what it means to be a righteous man, about what it means to fulfill the words of the prophet, about what it means to speak of Jesus as God with us. All that is to say, between verses 18 and 25, Matthew gives us a lot. And it starts with a baby, an unborn child in the womb of a virgin, a young woman named Mary. Just Mary, who's engaged to a man named Joseph. Just Joseph. But Mary was special in God's sight. Joseph is special in God's sight. As we learn in verse 19, her husband, Mary's husband, Joseph, being a righteous man. A righteous man. We know that he is a righteous man. Because Joseph, to back it up here, Joseph has learned that Mary's pregnant. Joseph, believing like we do that he knows where babies come from, knows that if she's pregnant, he hasn't had anything to do with it. They've followed tradition. They've followed law and custom. He and Mary have not had any red wine together. And there's a baby on the way. And she earnestly tells him that the baby, the conception, is miraculous. The conception is by the Holy Spirit of God. And he loves her. And he admires her faith. And he's, I'd imagine, heartsick and heartbroken and angry. But Joseph is a righteous man. And he's unwilling to expose her to the full letter of the law, which would subject her to disgrace and humiliation, and maybe even worse. So hearing all this and knowing where babies come from, Joseph just makes a quiet plan to say, listen, let me breathe about this and let me sleep on it and pray on it. But his plan is to dismiss her quietly. He means her no harm, and that they could just go their separate ways. But as he sleeps on it, and as he prays on it, after he'd resolved to do the plan of dismissing her quietly, verse 20, but just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she'll bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him, name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's some dream. Joseph? Yes, Lord. Every word that Mary is telling you about how this child was conceived is true. This child is a gift from the Most High God. This child is the fulfillment of ancient prophecy. Yep, through Mary. Just plain Mary. And you, just plain Joseph, I will trust you to be open to the fact that this is true. And I need you to love her and to care for her and to love and care for this child, because this is your son, our son. So Joseph wakes up from this vision, from this dream. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had born a son. And he named him Jesus. Where do babies come from? Babies come from God. And this particular one, we understand, well, we imagine that we understand the natural process of conception. But Joseph comes to understand that the whole thing is supernatural. And what is conceived, the baby, the child conceived in Mary, is of the supernatural. But when you think about how absolutely awe-inspiring and miraculous natural conception is, it shouldn't be all that big a leap for us to envision an immaculate, a supernatural conception of a child. In the womb, in the person, in the heart of a young woman purely devoted to God, to righteousness. A righteous couple, Joseph and Mary. And in the fullness of time, in that place, in that moment in history, these two people come to form a holy family and to give birth to the promises of God. That's what Matthew's saying. And I pray that we can take this for ourselves. There's Mary and Joseph, this holy family. Mary, Joseph, Jesus. And who do we meet in this little tiny passage of Scripture? We encounter ancient prophecy, the telling of the coming of Messiah, and that this Messiah will pass through the womb of a young woman, a virgin. And this will all take place by the power of the presence of God through God's Holy Spirit. And this child's presence among us will be God with us. A God that will grow up with us. And that the fulfillment of this promise, right? They have to raise this child, Mary and Joseph, protect him, teach him, feed him, care for him, comfort him. And so before we quickly answer the question, where do babies come from? Why is the sky blue? What's the sun all about? Before we imagine, we know the answers based on our understanding of nature. We ought to let Matthew open us up to the supernatural. And that even as we imagine our own lives, as we interpret and understand our own lives' stories, and we may think that we're just ordinary, we have, many of us live what we might just refer to as ordinary lives. We've done the best we could. We got some level of education. We went out into the world and pursued an occupation, a vocation of one kind or another, and tried to assemble a certain amount of wealth to take care of ourselves and our families. And we might imagine all of that to just be kind of ordinary and natural, that we could explain it. Matthew, again, says not so fast. Let me tell you the story about an angel that speaks to a guy named Joseph who understands himself just like we might understand ourselves to just be ordinary. Just an ordinary Joe. And he says, "Hey, Ordinary Joe, I need you to do this for me. I need you to love this woman here, because the promises of God are going to be fulfilled through here, through her. And I need you to stand by her side and love her. And yes, this is unorthodox, but through your simple and beautiful and deep act of righteousness, my Joseph, the world will be saved." Right? Mary got up the morning before the angel arrived. I think I talked about this last week. And it was just another day. And then she ran headlong into the angel of God. Joseph receives news from Mary about this baby that's going to be born. And he can make no earthly sense of it. And through the power of the Most High God, through the mystery of the presence of the Holy Spirit, he embraces it. And the promises of God are born. And so, my ordinary friends, fellow sinners, is it possible? Could you open yourself up? Can you join me in trying to open yourself up to the mysteries and the possibilities of God? That nothing is ordinary. That the natural ordering of things points to a supernatural ordering of things. That is, those things that are just on the other side of the veil, that feel so close that we can touch them, that the beauty of our children and grandchildren, the beauty of new life and the way it grips our heart points to something bigger than we can measure or see. That creation, that human creation, human beings, this whole created order is of God. And that in this season of Advent, one of the gifts that we can receive is to have our attention refocused on that truth. That God is with us, and God is for us, and God is ahead of us, and God is with us. All these just gets me going. Yeah. And I'm maybe trying to be clever when I say that birth has something to do with red wine. But in the church, we celebrate that birth, the presence of God with us, has something to do with wine and with bread and with confession and with prayer and with the extending of the hand and the receiving of the gift and the blessing. Something new is born. God is mysterious and God is powerful. And God looks for the righteous among us, the humble among us, those unwilling to expose others to public disgrace. And so, fellow sinners, ordinary friends, your average Mary or Joe, my prayer is that Matthew will inspire us to be open. Open like Mary, open like Joseph, to the truth that things are much bigger and more beautiful than they seem. That we might allow the mysteries and the unspoken truths to have us pause for a minute and wonder where it all comes from. And that it would lead us into the presence of our God, and to be overwhelmed by what is truly good news. To which I say, Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. And we pray in this season of Advent, God, that you would forgive us our sins, that you would forgive us when we think we know it all, and that in this season you would fill us with wonder and awe and an expectation that miracles take place all around us, and yes, even in our own lives. Come, Holy Spirit of the living God, fill us up with your truth. Fill us with the hope of new possibility and new life and new hope and new grace, new peace, new love and joy. We pray for this good world that you've made, O God. We pray that you will lift up the righteous, lift up the Josephs and the Marys of this world. Help them to influence the culture and the communities in which they live. And for us, O God, you know the concerns and the joys of our hearts. We come to you simply and expectantly, and we offer you all of these things, our joys, our concerns, our prayer lists. And we make quiet space to be still in your presence and to listen for your voice. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you for the gift of our tradition, for the brave men and women who saved our stories and prayers for us, and hear us as we celebrate together the prayer of our Lord. As we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, friends, as we move on from this moment together, I pray that we will all go out into this week before Christmas, and we will be open to miracles, that we could see them and participate in them and name them. All glory be to God, the one that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who walks with us this week and blesses us with his peace. Go in peace. Amen.